5,000 years ago, the Earth was ruled by the powerful Kuru dynasty, of which Emperor Pandu was the chief. Noble and courageous, he was renowned throughout the world. Now one day, while hunting, Pandu released his arrows, and he shot two deer in the midst of their mating. The deer were actually a sage and his wife. "You fool," said the dying sage. "Do you know what you have done? It is forbidden to hunt a creature while it sports with its mate. My wife and I assume the forms as deer only to enjoy in our lovemaking. This has cost us our lives, and thus I curse you. The next time you venture to enjoy the delights of sex, you also will die." The king, overwhelmed with grief, decided to live a life of renunciation. He retired to the forest, accompanied by his two beautiful wives, Kunti and Madri. Now Kunti had the power of a mantra. With this mantra, she could evoke the gods. Pandu told her, "I cannot give you child, but the demigods, they are just like my brothers. Call upon them. They will help." So first, she called upon Dharmaraj, the Lord of Justice, and the pious Yudhisthira was born. Then she called upon Vayu, the wind god, and Bhima, with the strength of 1,000 elephants, was born. She called upon Indra, the king of heaven, and the mighty bowman, Arjuna, was born. Madri also used the mantra, and from her union with the gods, the noble twins, Nakula and Sahadev, were born. 5 sons, the Pandavas, fathered by the gods. After some years, on a fresh spring day, a day that excites the heart and calls for love and adventure, on that day, Pandu approached Madri, caught hold of her hand, and despite her repeated words of warning, he brought her to a soft patch of grass. There, he evoked the curse, and he died. Kunti and Madri devised a plan of action. Deep in the forest, they built a funeral pyre. And as Pandu's body was consumed by the dancing flames, Madri entered the fire to follow her husband into the next life, while Kunti remained behind to take care of the 5 sons. They returned to the capital city of Hastinapura, where they resided in the royal palace under the care of Pandu's blind brother, King Dhritarashtra. Blind Dhritarashtra had 100 sons of his own, who were known as the Kauravas, the eldest being Duryodhan. The Pandavas and the Kauravas grew up together. From childhood, there existed a rivalry between them. Yudhisthira, the eldest of the Pandavas, was the heir apparent. Duryodhan was so envious and greedy and conniving. He was consumed with a desire for power, which spread and infected everyone around him like a raging disease. When the Pandavas matured, they were given a section of the kingdom to prevent further disputes between the rival cousins. However, the land given to the Pandavas was a barren wasteland. Nothing would grow there. But Lord Krishna was their friend, and he extended his help. Lord Krishna is the source of the demigods, and he called upon them to make this wasteland into a splendid kingdom. In no time, the land was turned into fertile fields, and a stunning palace was built. Beautiful gardens and orchards appeared. Prosperity abounded. Soon, a grand ceremony was held and everyone was invited. When Duryodhan beheld Yudhisthira's kingdom, his heart burned with envy. He entered the palace in wonderment. It was built by Mayadhanava, the architect of the nether regions. And it was constructed in a puzzling way. It was a masterpiece of illusion. There Yudhisthira sat amidst it all, like a god, surrounded by his brothers, attended by their queen Draupadi. Duryodhan hated the Pandavas for their good fortune. Then he tried to walk through a doorway, or what he thought was a doorway, and smashed his head against a crystal wall. Seeing this, the ladies of the palace all giggled. Then Duryodhan came upon what he thought was a pit and carefully walked around it. But when a palace servant walked across, he realized it was just a wonderful design on the marble floor. Then he saw what appeared to be water. He went closer and saw that it was just the marble floor with another amazing design. Clever, he thought to himself. Then he tried to walk across and fell in. It was water, a pond filled with clear water. He was drenched. Everyone laughed. Duryodhan made a hasty retreat. He stumbled out of the palace. Yudhisthira was pained to see this prince of the Kurus so humiliated. Duryodhan vowed to get even. He wanted this palace for himself. When he returned to Hastinapura, he secretly met with his uncle Shakuni. Shakuni was a wizard at gambling. He possessed a pair of dice that obeyed his every command. The dice were made from the bones of his dead father. Together, Duryodhan and Shakuni hatched a wicked plan. Duryodhan would invite the Pandavas back to the capital city for a friendly game of dice. Men of royalty were at times inclined to amuse themselves with bets. Thus, Shakuni would trick them into losing everything they had. When the Pandavas returned to Hastinapura, they were welcomed with great honor. Their chambers were beautifully decorated. Yudhisthira and his brothers and their queen Draupadi received many fine gifts. The next day, the match began. Yudhisthira hesitated to play at dice, but the Pandavas were warriors, and being challenged to a game, they could not refuse. The assembly hall was filled with elders and respected leaders of the Kuru dynasty. Stakes were wagered, jewels and precious stones. Shakuni, sly and crafty, played on behalf of Duryodhan, and Yudhisthira played for the Pandavas. Shakuni took the dice in his hands and he threw them on the board. "I have won," he shouted. Yudhisthira then wagered 1,000 gold coins and bangles from his own arms. Duryodhan did the same. Again the dice were cast. "I have won again," Shakuni proclaimed. Shakuni's call was heard throughout the assembly. Everyone was silent. The atmosphere became feverish. Yudhisthira lost his chariots, his horses, his army, his treasury, his palace. His world was being devoured by the deceitful Shakuni. Shakuni threw the dice once more and announced for all to hear, "I have won again." Shakuni's dice were mystical. There was no question of a fair match. It was impossible to defeat him. When Yudhisthira hung his head in shame, Shakuni taunted him. "My dear Yudhisthira, what is the matter? Don't you have anything left? Is there anything you can call your own? I am so sad to see that you have lost all your worldly possessions. But if there's anything you have, any little thing at all, you can wager that. And I will wager all that you have lost so far. And if you win, If you win, you can take it all back. The madness of the game seemed to make Yudhisthira lose his reason. His mind raced blindly ahead. He could not stop. He wagered his brothers. He wagered himself. Finally, he wagered their lovely wife, Draupadi, and lost. Draupadi was then dragged before the vicious assembly. The cheaters wanted her stripped naked. They howled with glee and began to unravel her sari. Draupadi was like a helpless fawn amidst hungry jackals. In this condition, she raised her hands and called out to her lord, "O Krishna, 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 you are my only refuge. You are my life and soul. Please, protect me." The cheetahs unraveled her sari more and more. Piles of cloth soon covered the floor. But no matter how much cloth was removed, the sari on Draupadi's body still remained. That supreme mystic, Lord Krishna, unseen, supplied Draupadi with unlimited cloth, and thus the honor of his devotee was saved. Finally, the Pandavas, with their chaste queen, were banished to the forest, and they could not return for 13 long years. Their travels in exile held many wonderful adventures for the Pandavas. They encountered extraordinary personalities and visited strange lands. They wandered through enchanting forests where soft breezes blew and the calls of many exotic birds were constantly heard in the trees. One day, as the Pandavas wandered into a jungle, the sun beat relentlessly down upon them. After many hours of traveling, they became fatigued. Their throats were parched and dry. They sat down in the shade of a large tree. Now Yudhisthira suspected that in the distance there was a lake. He sent one of his brothers to find out. The brother had gone some distance when he came upon the lake. Now in this lake, there lived a strange ogre. He was waiting for the Pandavas. When this Pandava saw the crystal clear waters of the lake, he was overwhelmed with thirst. He was about to drink when the ogre from within called out, "Stop! This is my lake. Before you drink, you must answer my questions." But the Pandava did not heed the voice. He drank the water and he died. Soon Yudhisthira sent another brother. This Pandava came to the lake and saw the lifeless body of his brother. Then he saw the crystal clear water of the lake. He was overwhelmed with thirst. He was about to drink when the ogre called out, "Stop! This is my lake. Before you drink, you must answer my questions." But the Pandava did not heed the voice. He too drank the water and he died. One by one, the Pandavas came to the lake and met with the same fate. Finally, Yudhisthira himself approached. He found the four lifeless bodies of his brothers. Then he saw the crystal clear water of the lake. He was overwhelmed with thirst. He was about to drink when the ogre commanded, "Stop! This is my lake. Before you drink, you must answer my questions." The others had been overcome by the powerful urge to drink, but Yudhisthira stood quietly. He did not drink. "Ask your questions, and I will answer."
"Then tell me this. What is quicker than the wind?"
"The mind."
"And tell me, what is more numerous than the blades of grass in the fields?"
"The thoughts which spring from the mind."
"What should a man give up to make him loved by all?"
"His false pride."
"What is pride?"
"Thinking oneself to be the doer of one's activities."
"Tell me, How can a man attain what is great?
By sacrifice.
And tell me this. How can a man always have a good companion?
Intelligence is a man's companion.
Yes, that may be, but tell me, how is it to be acquired?
Serving the wise makes one rich in wisdom.
And tell me, who is the friend granted by the gods to man?
A wife who helps her husband.
And what is heavier than the mountains and earth?
The words of one's mother and father.
And what must we renounce to make us wealthy?
Our desire for riches, fame, and adoration.
And tell me, what is wealth?
To look equally upon happiness and distress, upon a pebble or a piece of gold.
And tell me, what is the most valuable possession?
Knowledge of the eternal soul.
And what is mercy?
To give this knowledge to others.
And tell me, what is our duty in life?
To seek the welfare of all creatures.
And what is the best kind of happiness?
Happiness from within.
And finally, tell me this. Tell me, what is the most wonderful thing?
All around us, there is death. Our fathers and grandfathers grow old and die before our very eyes. All life around us is rushing into the mouth of death. And yet we behave as though we will live forever. What could be more wonderful than this? There was a calm silence surrounding the lake. Then the ogre came before Yudhisthira and revealed himself. It was Dharmaraj, Yudhisthira's own father, the Lord of Justice. They embraced through tears of love. "Oh, my son," he said, "I am very pleased with you. I wanted to meet you, to examine your wisdom and test your forbearance. You have pleased me very much. And now I bring your brothers back to life. My son, all blessings upon you." Then Dharmaraj vanished into mist. So ends the meeting of father and son at the enchanting lake. It is said that those who hear this story with an open heart will never seek evil, nor will they ever seek the wealth of others. Their minds will be serene and clear, even at the moment of death. After spending 13 years in exile, the Pandavas made their way back to the capital city of Hastinapura. Upon their return, they wanted to reclaim their rightful share of the kingdom. That was the agreement that had been made. But Duryodhan, he was unapproachable. He was not at all willing to return their land. So the Pandavas sent Lord Krishna to the royal court with a message, delivered in the presence of the blind king and his son, and the assembled ministers and counselors. Krishna informed them, "The Pandavas do not bear any grudges. They only want to live in peace, and thus do not demand the return of their kingdom. But the Pandavas need some place to live. Duryodhan, you are the firstborn of a noble family. You have great strength and valor. You are known to be very generous. I ask you, give the Pandavas 5 villages where they can live in peace." But Duryodhan would not listen. "Why should I give them anything? No one forced the Pandavas to play at dice. Didn't I win their land in a fair game? And after Yudhisthira foolishly lost everything, didn't I give him a chance to win it all back? Didn't I? So is it my fault that the invincible Pandavas lost their kingdom and were forced to live in the woods? I have done more than enough for my cousins. Now let me tell you that as long as I live, the Pandavas will get no land from me,
I will not give the Pandavas so much land as will fit under the head of a pin.
With these words, the war was inevitable.